Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome to episode 6 of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime Podcast with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs. So welcome to the world of heroes, monsters, and pop culture and fun. Hope you enjoy this episode. This episode is a special one. It gets explained in the story behind the story portion of it. I wasn't 100% sure at first if I wanted to do this story for this podcast, and the reason was simply because it's comparatively to the previous episodes that we've done, it's a shorter story. It's not flash fiction, but it's a shorter story, so a short story kind of thing. But there's a reason why it's included in this season, and again, you'll find out in story behind the story. But for me, it's a special story in its own way, for the reasons explained that you'll find out. But anyway, yeah, let's get like right into it, right? Because that's why we're here, story time. Okay, so we've have our little intro, and then straight into story, and then story behind the story, which is actually a story. It's just a nonfiction of the fiction that you just heard, which is pretty cool. And then, of course, the after credit segment. So we're doing pretty good. We're kind of finding our voice with this season, where things are changed up a little bit. For me, again, season 2 of a podcast, so I'm a season 2 podcaster, which means I'm learning still, you know, and you as a listener have been putting up with me, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You know, I hope you find some humor in that and it makes you laugh. And yeah, let's, you know what, I'm not even going to ramble anymore. I'm just going to get you right into story time because it's important. This one for sure, if I pulled it off the way I hope to pull it off, which again will be explained in the story behind the story part, then great. Leave a comment and let me know. If I did not pull it off, then, well, there's a reason in the story behind the story as to why that could be. So, yeah, I hope I got your interest there. Here comes a special story. A perfect date. It was going to be perfect. It had to be. Brian had been planning it for weeks. It was 6:15 when he jumped into the shower, shampooed his hair, and let the conditioner sit for an extra minute just to make sure it worked. On a small rack in the shower was an assortment of body washes that he and his girlfriend Carrie, used. Having used her body wash instead of his own, he now smelled like freshly picked strawberries. When Brian first began dating her, he took special care when preparing to see her, in turn causing him to be consistently late for their dates. Now, that wasn't the case. They had been living together for the past 2 years, and tonight he would be able to take his time getting ready. Carrie wouldn't be coming home before seeing him this evening. She once asked him what his secret method was for smelling so good. He would never tell her, never say he used her body wash instead of his own. Sometimes she would even hang around outside the bathroom after he showered, peeking in through a crack in the bathroom door, just to get a glimpse of anything that might hint at what made him smell so, as she put it, delicious. Every time she tried it, she was caught. He would come out of the bathroom wearing only a towel and scoop her up in his arms and carry her to the bed, where they would spend most of their evening. The recipe for his smelling good was so simple. 3 dabs of Ocean Perfect across the neck, 1 dab of Evergreen just under the chin, and a dab of Berry Blue on each wrist. When Carrie first asked him what kind of cologne he was wearing, he would always reply by saying it was Fresh Water Fruit, a name he had given his private mixture. It wasn't until later she learned that such a cologne didn't exist. He eventually had to let her in on his secret. He's either that or spend the night alone on the couch in the living room. But she never knew it was also the scent of her body wash mixed in with the cologne that made the smell extra unique. Now, alone in the master bedroom's ensuite bathroom, Brian applied his cologne mix carefully, brushed on his underarm deodorant, and looked at himself in the mirror. Stunning. Red hair, blue eyes, the right amount of color in his cheeks. Perfect. He went out into the bedroom and over to the closet. A picture of Carrie sat on the mahogany dresser beside it. He turned to it. "What do you think, hon?" he asked. "Light blue with a black shirt, or something gray with black? Your choice, of course." Her picture gave him a considering look. Her blonde hair hung loosely over her shoulders, her blue eyes telling him she loved him. Feeling she would choose the gray with the black, he picked the suit out of the closet and laid it on the bed. A black leather belt with a brass buckle was selected, as well as an off-white tie. He knew the tie would be a tad flashy, but, after all, being original was what he was all about. He dressed with his back to the picture, not wanting her to see him until he was completely ready. As he pulled up his pants, he made a wry smile, discovered he must have put an extra pound or two on since the last time he wore them. The button on the waistline took a few moments to fasten in place before his body settled into them. These were the pants he reserved for special occasions, not his work pants. The pair he now wore used to belong to his father before he died. Stepping over to the mirror that hung above the dresser, he opened the top drawer and pulled out a black comb. He parted his wet hair and frowned, like he always did, when the teeth of the comb ran over the bald spot that was forming at the top of his head. He set the comb down and pressed his hair along the sides with his palms. It was perfect, not a strand out of place. The tie was next. When he got his job in Maxwell and Davis, an accounting firm at the other end of town, Carrie would have to get up in the morning with him to help him tie it. Finally, one morning, she made him sit on the edge of the bed, her sitting behind him, and instructed him step by step on how to do it properly. And now tying a tie was as easy as tying a shoe. Bending down to the bottom drawer, he pulled out a pair of black socks. Unfortunately, like all his socks, this pair had a hole near the big toe. He figured Carrie would let it slide. She would know that his heart was in the right place. After the socks came a pair of black slip-on dress shoes. He batted the toes of them with the end of his tie to remove the little bit of dust that had formed there since the last time he wore them. Brian donned the suit jacket. "Almost there," he said, tugging on the lapels. Returning to the mirror, he straightened his clothes and picked up the picture of Carrie to get her opinion. "What do you think, Carrie?" he asked. Her image didn't respond, but judging by the way she was smiling in it, Brian thought she decided he looked spiffy enough for the evening. Brian set the picture down and opened up the jewelry box next to it. Before taking his shower, he would set his gold watch and high school ring in there. Ever since losing a necklace while swimming in Lake Winnipeg as a boy one summer, going near water with any form of jewelry had always been a bad idea. He put on his watch and ring and smiled. "She's going to like this," he thought. Beneath Carrie's pillow on her side of the bed, Brian had hidden a love note for her. He took out the tiny envelope from beneath the pillow, opened it, and read the letter to himself. "Carrie, I guess tonight's going to be it. I'm finally going to be with you forever. I've loved you since always, and tonight I'm going to prove it to you. I can't wait to see the expression on your face. Love, Brian." He smiled again, the beat of his heart quickening. The clock above the bed said 6:45. He figured he had a few minutes before seeing her. He went over to his side of the bed and sat on its edge and propped up his pillows. He lied down and set the love note neatly on his chest. The clock read 6:46. A few more minutes, he thought, needing some more time to get used to the idea that life as he knew it was about to change. When the clock read exactly 6:50, Brian opened up the night table drawer next to the bed and pulled out a blue velvet case. Time to get moving. He didn't want to be too late this evening. The lid creaked when he opened it. Inside was something smooth, silver, and shiny. He took the object out and held it in his hands. After feeling it carefully, he set it on the mattress next to him, got up from the bed, picked up Carrie's picture, and kissed it. He envisioned her kissing him back. Bringing the picture with him, he returned to the bed, lay down again, and replaced the love note on his chest. He picked up the object and studied it one more time. He had bought it earlier that day. For the $160 price tag, he hoped it worked, hoped it would ensure he and his sweetie would be together forever. Carrie would agree I would get a good deal, he thought. I can't wait to see the look on her face when she sees me. He closed his eyes, then put the object near his mouth, kissing it. His mind wandered to Carrie, and he envisioned her the way he always did when he thought of her, running through a playground wearing the white dress she had picked out for their wedding day, a smile on her face and a glimmer of joy in her blue eyes. It won't be long now, he thought. A tear ran down his cheek. He pulled the trigger. Welcome to the story behind the story. So what you heard was a story called A Perfect Date. And that story, if I'm remembering correctly, would have been, I think, the second short story I ever wrote. It was published a couple times through a couple of different venues. And so through that time, what you heard compared to, say, the original draft was slightly different because, you know, it's been edited and adjusted slightly over time. But I wanted to share it on this podcast because it was a shorter tale, and I know this season we're doing longer tales, but I included it in the short story collection, which is one of the reasons why I read it. But two, I wanted to share it because it is one of my earliest short stories ever. And for me, that's important for readers to sort of see. You know, if you follow an author, their catalog from, like, say, first book through to, let's just say, their eighth or ninth book or whatever, right? What you should be seeing as you go along is you should see, like, the progression of their voice, the progression of change, the way they kind of, as they go along, learn the craft better, you know, pick up the tips from their editor, et cetera, et cetera. And things get adjusted. And their voice, of course, slowly changes too, because they, as a person, change over time as well. So, as you change personally, of course, your voice, when you express yourself artistically, is going to change, regardless of medium that you practice. So, yeah, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to make, in my interest of always being a completist, and I'm an archivist by nature, I wanted to share that with you, that story, that early story, for that reason, to say, hey, that was my early voice, and now, you know, for further future works, you know, whatever you read of mine, you can see where I'm at that point now, you know. And in this case, this is 20 years later or something like that. So, and then in terms of, like, why that particular story, why so dark and, like, heavy, well, you know, it doesn't come across heavy at first, not the point. I wanted to mislead the reader into thinking that Brian was going to propose to her, you know, their lives were going to change, everything's going to be great, he's getting ready, all the whole bit. But it turned out, as we found out, actually she had died and he was going to join her. And I wanted that tragic ending because, one, I wanted to write a horror story, and with that, to get the horror element, I gave it the violent ending of a suicide. But regardless, you know, it was just where I was at in my life too. At the time that I wrote it, I won't get into details, but it was a very tough time with the breakup. And like, that's kind of where it is, where you cared about this girl, but in the end, you know, you wanted to end it. That is, end yourself, you know, and that's where I was at that time. And so anyway, yeah, that's the reason I wrote it. Was just to get it out of my system, to attempt, for me at the time, a new way of writing, and that is misleading the reader into something and then therefore surprising them after the fact. So I tried that. I don't know if I succeeded. You could leave a comment and tell me if I surprised you with that story. But otherwise, that's basically the story behind the story. It's just a simple, honest reflection of where I was at the time. That was my voice as a writer at the time. And yeah, I wanted to share that with you in the interest, again, of completion, of having the whole picture of all things, you know, early. And I think also, just as a quick comment, in general, I think it's cool when a reader seeks out a writer's early work. Like, if you pick your favorite modern writer, right, and they say they're 40 books in right now, but if you could, like, seek out some stuff that was either their first book or, you know, items that were published prior to even that first book, like a short story somewhere or some article that they wrote for a paper somewhere or an essay or a short story excerpt somewhere or whatever it is. If you could find, like, an early version of their voice, who they were at that time, I would encourage you to do that. I mean, I've done a little bit of that with, like, say, Stephen King, for example. Like, his early work, compared to his work now, it was black and white difference, you know, in terms of voice and tone and style. It's because he's grown, right? Like, he, you know, now he's quite good at what he does, obviously. He's very successful, but at the same time, you know, he has had to start somewhere, you know. So anyway, same idea. I'll stop rambling, but thanks for tuning into this little behind the scenes story behind the story. And next week's episode, we'll have a new story with a new story behind the story. So we do stories on this story channel with Story Podcast and Story, Story, Story. All right, enough humor. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers. Thanks for sticking around till after the credits for this little segment. This is a kind of a pondering thought thing afterwards. You know, if you're listening to this, are you a fan of history? I'm a history fan. I like history. I loved it in high school. I did really well on the subject because I enjoyed it. And after the fact, you know, I looked into my own interests in terms of historical events and reading up on them and this and that. And what's fascinating about history, and I'm trying to keep this brief because we are in the after credit segment, but what's fascinating about history is, one is, yes, we have, you know, kind of two versions of history, right? We have what's in the history books, and then we have what we have in the physical world in terms of, like, non-text backup to what the historical texts say, right? And so therefore we have certain, out of any history, pick any history book ever, and you have, like, for sure, there's going to be portions of those books. You know, I'm talking history books where, say, like, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened, those types of books. And yeah, so you have portions of that for sure that have been verified in the physical world. But it is also portions of the text that have yet to be verified, right? So, which I find fascinating, because that means to me, at least at objective step back glance, what we have actually is a document or documents where we know for certain a portion is true, but at the same time, the stuff that we don't know for sure is questionable then, right? Because we can't prove it 100% yet, and, you know, until another, say, archaeological find happens or something, right? So we're kind of left with this strange mix of for sure nonfiction, but potential fiction, you know? And that's where that segues into the whole idea of, like, the tales of old and ancient legends and myths and, like, you know, all this stuff. And it gets really fascinating. But I just want you to consider that one little aspect of history, and that's simply, we know what we know for sure in terms of stuff we can prove that occurred back, pick whatever year in history. And then we also have the stuff that we just take at face value out of the text. And yeah, try maybe looking at it that way just to see, you know, I'm with a little bit of analytical skepticism, saying, you know, is those parts that we have not yet verified true? Or am I looking at a piece of nonfiction mixed with fiction, which is a peculiar cross, right? And what's even makes it even harder is the fact is, you know, to distinguish the two as you go along. Well, you know, it's a bit of a trick too. So anyway, something to consider, something to let your imagination kind of ponder and wander and, you know, stir on and stuff, and maybe you'll entertain yourself along the way. So thanks again for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, and comment. And of course, we will see you next week with a new podcast and a new short story. Cheers.